Coming up next on The Source, The Children of the Revolution. Lionel Sosa created an award-winning public TV series on how the refugees from the 20-year Mexican Revolution fled into Texas and changed America.
San Antonio, in many ways, was like the Ellis Island to the Mexican population.
Many of these exiles were Mexico's artists, entrepreneurs, and intellectuals. By virtue of hard work, their children became the leaders of South Texas and are now creating the path for a new Latino America. Sosa's effort is now a book, which he hopes will preserve for future generations, the story of the children of the revolution.
Our story has never been told. It's never been told in a book. It's never been told in a museum. And this is something that I can hold on to and pass on to my kids and my grandkids.
That's coming up on The Source, but first, the news.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Sparked by injustice and a brutal dictatorship, Mexico's revolution erupted in 1910 and dragged on till 1929. It turned a nation that, in many ways, was about as modern as the contemporary United States and wrecked its economy, shattered the social structure, and drove a million of its people north of the border. But these exiles were not defeated. They decided to make the most of their new home and gave birth to a generation of Mexican Americans with the mission to start businesses, create, and govern. San Antonio advertising trailblazer Lionel Sosa told this incredible story in the public television series produced in cooperation with KLRN-TV, Children of the Revolution. It's aired across Texas, and many of the segments can be found online. Now, Sosa has created a companion book to the series, Children of the Revolution, How the Mexican Revolution Changed America. It tells the family stories of a who's who of South Texas and how their families were uprooted from Mexico, transplanted to San Antonio, and eventually thrived and bore the fruit of the Children of the Revolution.
Well, the book Children of the Revolution is a really multi-layered book. Neff Garcia wrote the historical narrative of the revolution, and then we added individual stories of people like Henry Cisneros, Ricardo Romo, and others, Alex Briseño, and all of their families somehow or another had a story about the revolution. Their ancestors, their grandparents came to San Antonio because of the revolution. So those stories were important. Then we have, we look at different themes like the women of the revolution. We look at themes like immigration and the Chicano movement and all of these kinds of things that are associated with the people having gotten here. And so it's a lot of photographs, a lot of archival photographs, very old photographs, 100 years old that have not been published before.
This is a beautiful coffee table style book.
It is a
great photographs and a lot of detail, high resolution, great paper, something that can actually be passed down generation to generation.
That's the plan, you know, something that families can have in their homes and that can look through for many, many years. And, you know, people are looking at it that way. They say, you know, our story has never been told. It's never been told in a book. It's never been told in a museum. And this is something that I can hold on to and pass on to my kids and my grandkids.
Like we were saying earlier, last night I saw you at the Twig bookstore where you had a signing. It was pretty much the coming out party for the book, filled with folks who were buying stacks of these books. Looks like they were buying them for their entire family line. For Christmas.
Yeah, it makes a very good Christmas gift for the family. And there were a whole lot of people at the Twig. It's on sale now, only at the Twig, as a matter of fact, and it'll be on sale next year nationwide. And And the television series will also be part of what Univision will be broadcasting sometime in the spring. The date hasn't been set yet, but it'll be a continuation of the stories that were told on KLRN.
Now, this is a groundbreaking event for Univision because this is the first time they're going to have an English language series on
Univision is now coming into a bilingual approach to their programming. And they're using Children of the Revolution as their first experiment to see, okay, if we have people talking in English with Spanish subtitles and other people talking in Spanish with English subtitles, will that be something that that our audience will like? So they're going to be running the show in all Texas markets that are affiliated with Univision. And if it goes as successfully as we hope that it will, then we have a crack at taking it nationally.
And Univision started in San Antonio with Channel 41. And is that related, also have roots back to the revolution?
Oh, yes. You know, the first television station in the Spanish language was in San Antonio. The first radio station in Spanish was in San Antonio. The first newspaper in Spanish was in San Antonio. A lot of the big Latino organizations that are national organizations like MALDEF was started in San Antonio. And a lot of the leadership, you know, that a lot of the people that have made an impact on a nationwide basis came from San Antonio. You know, Henry Cisneros is a perfect example.
Well, Mexico in 1910, huge revolution overthrowing the dictator Diaz. And everyone knows about Pancho Villa, but they may not know the nitty-gritty about the history and what was going on. So for 20 years, Mexico was in upheaval, and many people, there were refugees and exiles, and they came, many of them, to San Antonio, but also Laredo and Corpus Christi. Like Laredo, I can think of the Sigaroa family, Corpus Christi, Dr. Hector P. Garcia, who was the founder of the GI Forum and also the Viva Kennedy movement. One would say the very first Latino activist in America. It all results back to Mexico losing all this talent and coming and putting roots in Texas, these are people who lost everything, and yet they were able to come here and rebuild. I mean, how did that happen?
Well, you know, there's something about the work ethic of the Latino and the optimistic nature of the people and the culture. They had to leave Mexico, and you're right, for 20 years, Mexico was in upheaval. Between 1910 and 1920, in that 10-year period, Mexico had 9 presidents, and some were assassinated, and some were forced out of office, and some were placeholders while they decided who the next president was going to be. But this was a country in turmoil, in economic turmoil, in political turmoil. And, you know, people finally had enough. So they knew that the United States was a land of opportunity, that this is where they could come and make a new life. And they all had plans to return to Mexico one day. But because the revolution lasted so long, they never felt safe going back.
It was 20 years.
20 years. And, of course, not all of them came in 1910. Many came in the 20s and even the 30s. It became something where the intellectuals would settle in San Antonio. That's why the newspaper, the first Spanish language newspaper, was in San Antonio, because this San Antonio in many ways was like the Ellis Island to the Mexican population. And between 1910 and 1930, about 1 million people left Mexico and came here. And that was you know, what jump-started the Latino population boom, which now is 55 million in the United States.
And for so many years, these stories were told around rectories of San Antonio and ice houses of San Antonio. These are the stories that we heard around the Domino's tables. So, and now finally it's being put together in one book, and people are just latching onto it and saying, you're telling my story.
You know, that is true, because You know, as Sandra Cisneros says, if you don't tell your own story, it's like your people never existed. It's like that event never happened. And if you don't tell your story, somebody might tell it for you. And
right,
it
and she says that's worse than not telling your own story is having someone else tell it for you, because then they're going to twist it and they're not going to do you justice.
That's right. They will rewrite history, and maybe it will not be the correct history.
Lionel Sosa is the editor of the book, The Children of the Revolution, How the Mexican Revolution Changed America, based on his award-winning public TV series. We'll have more on that after the break. Also coming up, we're going to hear about Arts San Antonio's Nutcracker Ballet. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. Lionel Sosa is a retired marketing trailblazer. He worked on Ronald Reagan's 1980 presidential campaign, reaching out to Latino voters, and other successful Republican presidential campaigns. He's also a nationally recognized portrait artist. We're talking about a book he edited, Children of the Revolution, How the Mexican Revolution Changed America. When you talk about why the families of the revolution, when they were displaced and they came to San Antonio frequently, like in your own story, these were women with their children in tow, your grandmothers on both sides, coming in with few resources, yet I think what they brought with them were standards.
They did. You know, both my grandmothers came to the United States in the early 20s, they didn't have husbands. They had children. In the case of my maternal grandmother, she did have siblings. My paternal grandmother, it was just her and the four kids. And they decided to, they found a little place on the east side, and they decided that they were going to make their living by taking in laundry. So my father, being the only boy, he was assigned to go and pick up the clothes and deliver them the next day, all starched and pressed. And my aunts, they were assigned to the washing and the starching and the drying and the ironing. And they ran a successful business for about 16 years. And at age 21, my father opened his own shop in the Prospect Hill area, which was predominantly Anglo at the time. This is in the late 30s. And he opened up the Prospect Hill Cleaners. And, you know, that's what made the life for us, how we got educated, how the values that they taught that came from Mexico, the values of hard work, of making it on your own, of being honest and doing everything that you can to outperform the next fella, you know. My mom always says, you know, you got to be better than anybody else, because you're going to be measured against Anglos that are far better educated than you, so you've got to be better than them. And that's what drove a lot of people, certainly myself.
A lot of people are making the comparison to what's happened in the Mexican Revolution with the exodus of so much of many families to San Antonio, to what's happening now with the violence that's happening in Mexico, and we're seeing a lot of wealthy families relocating to San Antonio and putting down roots, and we're wondering if we're seeing, you know, another generation of children of revolution.
You know, Dave, I think you're exactly right. Mexico, in one way or another, has always been a very violent country. If it's not battles, actually, it's maybe you might call it economic violence, you know, where people's lives are shaken every 10 years or so. Something happens to the economy. Their value is now one-third of what it was yesterday. They can't make their home payments. And or violence, as Mexico has been experiencing in the last 10 years or so, drugs and
the kidnappings.
And life continues to be tough in Mexico. And people continue to come to the U.S., some of the most poor, and now, as you say, the very, very wealthy. But they are coming and setting roots and becoming an integral part of this country. And, you know, as immigrants always have done, contributing to this country and strengthening this country. And it's something that many people fear. My goodness, people different than me are coming in. Are they going to change my neighborhood? Or are they going to change my country? But the immigrants have always strengthened countries, whether it's been...
Well, it certainly strengthened San Antonio.
Yes, absolutely.
It's always been a benefit to the city.
It has. San Antonio is the only major city in the U.S. that has always had a majority Latino population. And it didn't become Latino like Los Angeles or Miami or even New York. We've always been this way. And I think that's one of the reasons that San Antonio people just seem to get along better. We just seem to be able to naturally work together in a way where there's more understanding and there's more pride in each other's cultures.
So we have these generations removed from Mexico. They've achieved prominence in the United States and stature and positions of authority. And we also have to keep our eyes still connected to Mexico, remember our roots there. And, you know, you look at sometimes other populations like the Jewish population in the United States and how related they are to Israel, or the Irish population and how they want to help the peace process in Ireland. Do we have a population of descendants of Mexico in the United States who are actively involved in trying to help Mexico?
Well, there's an organization by the name of MAT.org, Mexicans and Americans Thinking Together, that is very, very devoted to that goal. And however, it's really interesting because, you know, we don't hear much about the Mexican Revolution. It happened right around the time that World War I was starting. So we took our eyes off our neighbor to the south, and we concentrated all of our efforts in Europe. And usually other world events seem to take precedence over the importance of our relationship with Mexico. I don't think there's any doubt that we could work together much better. I hope the administration will work harder with the leaders in Mexico and that we come to a mutual understanding. We need each other. We depend on each other.
We're not going anywhere.
We're not.
Mexico's never going to leave. It's right there.
It's right there.
We have to work together.
We share a 2,000-mile border. We're like Siamese twins, you know. We're connected at the hip, and our life, really, and our livelihood and our future, to a large extent, depend on one another.
Lionel Sosa is the editor of the book The Children of the Revolution: How the Mexican Revolution Changed America, based on his award-winning public TV series. We have more information about the book and the series on our website, tpr.org. You can bet your sugar plums that the Nutcracker Ballet is a San Antonio holiday tradition. It's like putting up a Christmas tree, dropping a fistful of change in the Salvation Army's bucket, and eating too many tamales. What is Christmas without Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker? It's elegant, it's grand, and it's something not to be missed. John Tooley is the president and executive director of Arts San Antonio.
This year will be the San Antonio debut of a new company formed by Paul Mejia. The company is Mejia Ballet International. Paul is a former principal dancer with George Balanchine's New York City Ballet, former artistic director at both the Chicago Ballet and Texas Ballet Theater. Paul and his company operate in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and this will be the fourth time that Paul has brought Nutcracker to San Antonio, the first time with this new company. This is an exceptional production. The principal dancers are Russian, and Olga Pavlova, the prima ballerina, is actually Bolshoi Ballet trained. So it has it features the discipline and elegance of a classical Russian ballet, but the sensibility and fun of the American versions. You know that It was actually New York City Ballet and George Balanchine who popularized Nutcracker. It's not as popular in Europe as it is in the United States. It's become a holiday staple here in the United States.
Hard to imagine having Christmas without enjoying the Nutcracker.
I agree. And no sooner do I think that I am too old to enjoy this or too jaded to like the music, I hear it and I'm reminded that this is a great work of art. It's incredible music. It's amazing music. And the dance, especially the second act, is, you know, represents the best of classical ballet.
In San Antonio, when it seems like we don't really get the wintry Christmas, and we seem to be missing some elements, but you go into the theater and the lights go down and the music comes up and you see the costumes and the performances and just the quality of dance, and you're right there.
Just because it doesn't get cold here doesn't necessarily mean that we don't yearn to touch base with those familiar customs and values that define us. And we very much want and need that in San Antonio as much as we would any place else in the frozen north. I guarantee you, though, it will snow at every performance on stage at Lila Cockrell Theater, and creating snow during and for Nutcracker is an important part of the production. So it's not cold snow, but it looks pretty real.
John Tooley is the president and executive director of Arts San Antonio. They're presenting Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker Ballet this weekend at the Lila Cockrell Theater. There's more information on our website, tpr.org. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flav is in charge of TPR operations. We get production help from Kathleen Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.